The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hey, it's Chris Fleming. Listen to Dave and Mike on Odyssey Files, because if you don't, you're going to get abducted. And it didn't work.
Oh! Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave, it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, the Odyssey Files starts now.
Good evening, Para-X. You are listening to the Odyssey Files. It is 7 p.m. on Monday night, Central Time. I'm your host, Michael O'Neill. With me, as always, is my co-host, Mr. Dave Sawyering. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening, Mike, and to our cherished guests that are going to be here for this amazing show that we're doing tonight.
We don't have any amazing guests, unless you're talking about the listeners.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. They're our guests.
what do we call our guests?
I don't know. You're getting too deep, man. It's Monday. It was a long day.
Monday. Yeah. It has been a long day. It was a long, long weekend.
Yeah, it was for me too.
It tapped off by the fact that we're rusty because we were off last week due to Labor Day.
But we threw a great show in for you. So if you happen to listen, that was I really liked that show that we did. So,
yes, and I would like to point this out because I want it on record.
Yeah.
And so I had to be at work. So I was at work a couple hours before our show launched. But we set it up to play the Dustin Perry.
Yep.
Dustin Perry show. So I'm like, well, sweet. You know, I'm the only one in the building. I'm like, I'll throw on my headphones, I'll log into Para-X, and I'll actually listen to our show. And so I did that, and then our wonderful and esteemed boss, Miss Rebecca, has a show right after us. So she also had a repeat, but I think I heard a different show than the one they were trying to play. I think, not sure. Uh-oh. But she pre-recorded one. But the show I was listening to, she started it off by making fun of me. So I was infuriated.
Why would she do that? She loves you like a brother or
More like the maybe the second cousin you don't invite to Thanksgiving every year.
Okay.
But, all right. Yeah. Well, I think she was pretty much making reference to the fact that we had gone over our time for like the fourth time in a row.
Well, okay. You can't just automatically stop greatness. It just pours out and continues, right? It's like trying to stop an avalanche. You don't just go, hey, snow, you better just stop now because you're going to reach the road. Sometimes it spills over.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
I said the only reason that I continually talk over my time is because everything that I say is very important.
Well, don't just say you. We. Everything that we say.
Well, yeah. Well, fine. Okay, maybe. But she was only making fun of me. She didn't say all Mike and Dave do is talk, right. talk. And yes, he used it that many times. Okay. She said me. So I
okay. I'll give you that. Okay. All right. I'll give you that then. You can run with that. Yeah.
So I just want to call that into, put that into the record that I do not approve, which I'm sure she doesn't care, which is fine. I am excited about the listeners. I love the listeners. Without it, it would just be Dave and I, and that's just not fun. No offense, well, Dave.
No, I agree 100% because, I mean, I talked to you, well, we've talked many, many, many times. So not that we couldn't have fun talking, but it would get, if it was just you and I, it would get kind of boring. And then, you know, we'd get way, way off topic. I can tell you that for a fact. We would be out in no man's land for like an hour and then like reel ourselves back in. And the whole show would be like this confused state of who the hell knows what.
Yeah. But then again, if we have a radio show and there's no one there to listen, do we really go off topic?
Yeah, we would. Yeah. Probably. No, yeah, we would. We'd be on movies. So, we'd be talking about something would spark something. We'd be like, "Whoa, wait a minute! I got something to talk about on that."
You mean like we do every single week?
Yeah, yeah. Except if we didn't have to rein ourselves in because we're under constraints of the time frame, and we want to deliver the you know, the information and our views on what we are going to talk about this week. I think, yeah.
What a great segue, Dave.
Thanks. See, and you didn't like me until just then, so.
That could be possible.
Yeah.
Maybe. Our topic for tonight, which we're going to attempt to give credit to, is prophecies. And some of the ones, although before the show, Dave and I were conversing about how like almost all prophecies out there are like the end of the world and World War III. Like it seems that humanity has nothing but, I shouldn't say nothing, but a lot of like death and destruction in our future.
Yeah, that or like they're looking for like religious prophecies, like maybe the second coming of Christ and stuff like that. And so a lot of the stuff was focused on more. It was like half spiritual, half the end of days. So I, you know, there's like nothing fun in the middle. It's just like one extreme to the other.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and I started doing research and I was, you know, looking up prophecies and stuff. And I saw this, the four prophetic realms. And I'm like, oh, sweet. That sounds really interesting. Let me read up on that. And so I started reading and everything had to do with the Bible. And then all of a sudden I get to this. The gift of scripture or the gift of prophecy or something like that. And it was like this gift is given by the Holy Spirit when you are in like done by the Holy Spirit, cannot be used by an unbeliever. It's for the church alone. And I'm, you know, you don't use it outside the borders of the church. And I'm like, wow, that's very specific. And I looked up at the top for like the first time and I'm like the Christian Truth Center. I'm like, oh, never mind.
There you go. That's fine.
I'm like, that makes the context. It makes a lot of
total
so
sense.
I got out of that because, you know, some of the other ones that I had already looked at had nothing to do with the church. And I'm like, well, if that's possible, if you can only use it in the realms of the church and needs to have nothing to do, well, then somebody's a little off here.
Right.
But there is one person who I came across for the first time. I think a lot of people, if they're into that sort of thing, would know the name. This Baba Vanga. Did I say that right?
I believe so. Yeah, that's how I would kind of pronounce it. Yep.
Never heard of her before. She is a Bulgarian woman born in 1911. And has since passed. Although the first time I saw her name, I believe it said she died in 1966, but this says she died in 1996. So maybe I just had the number turned upside down or something. Do you remember at all when exactly she passed? No? Okay.
No.
But she was blind, an herbalist, and alleged mystic. And she made many, many predictions for the future, one of which had to do with, I believe, 2018. I only had a chance to read one of the two. I feel so, like, unapplied right now. Like, I didn't... maximum effort. Like, it was mediocre effort. I tried. Believe me, I tried. But, like, she said that in 2018, like, China was going to overtake the United States as, like, the new superpower in the world, which seems to probably have happened, or at least getting close. But... and I couldn't remember. I don't think I got a chance to read the other one because I was at work when I was doing it. But I found some other ones, which I found very, very interesting from her. Now, again, she died in 1996, so she's not going to know about 2018 in China and whatnot. Because back then we were, you know, cream of the crop, I'm assuming.
Yep, I would think so.
But, I was 16. Give me a break. So... I didn't care about world issues at that time. She stated that in 4599. So, 2300 years from now?
Right. And we were just talking about that. And I'm really upset that that is so far out that I have to live for another 2300 years to be able to experience what's going to happen. So tell them what's going to happen.
That man is going to achieve immortality. And that less than 100 years later, we will begin assimilating with the aliens we will meet on the hundreds of planets we will have populated. And also that in 4509, so, okay, my math is totally off. So 90 years before we become immortal.
Right. That's the big one for me. The becoming immortal, yeah. I don't know if I really care about. Because if I live to be 2,300 years old, I don't really care if I'm immortal. I'm just imagining that the arthritis and the, you know, that you're going to be, you know, I don't know. It's just going to be horrid. Horrible.
You're going to be a little wrinkly.
And you're going to be really, really wrinkly and short. And I'm not short right now. But I kind of guarantee you that if I live to be 2,300 years old, I'd probably be like 3.5 feet tall.
You're going to be a pygmy.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what I would look like, yeah.
But so 90 years before we become immortal, we're going to become sufficiently developed that we will be able to communicate with God directly.
Now that I would hang around for.
Well, if you believe in any of our other shows, you'll be in like your ninth reincarnation by then.
Well, and that's, yep. I agree, and that very well could happen. And so, you know, I'm okay with that too.
Yeah. So
as long as I come back as like an intelligent human being and not like, I don't know if we can communicate with God directly, I suppose it won't matter if I was like a bald eagle or, you know, a great blue whale or a human being because we'd be able to communicate anyway. So never mind.
Well, it did say man, and it didn't say killer whales will sufficiently develop the ability to communicate with God directly.
All right. Well, then I track that statement, and then I'll need to be an intelligent human being so I can communicate with God directly.
But again, if you've passed on, you would be there with God directly. You wouldn't need to be alive. I mean, this is living people.
True.
That also means that being able to, and I didn't plan on really getting into it a lot. I just kind of wanted to throw that out there. But that would mean that being able to communicate with God directly is not so much a spiritual thing, but an evolutionary thing where we haven't reached, I don't know, a mentality or like a brain type of evolutionary type thing in order to communicate, but we have in our genes the ability to do so. Right.
I think that's probably really accurate to what she was trying to say. Although I don't know that it's brain development that's going to allow that. I think it's more an awareness. I think it's more of a spiritual awareness, and I think it's the ability to. I think honestly it'll be the ability to create inner peace within yourself no matter what situation is around you. And I think there's it's a very rare individual that can do that right now. If anybody can. I don't know. I personally don't think anybody can. I don't care how much you meditate. I don't care how much you, you know, how strong your belief is in anything. I don't think that we have reached a place of enlightenment that would allow us to communicate with angels and or God directly yet. But I think it's coming.
As you were kind of painting that picture, just in my head, I just saw this monk sitting there, you know, on like this, what's the word I'm looking for here? The sanctuary. And he finally like opens his eyes, stands up, he's achieved inner peace, and he opens the door and there's car horns and it's just completely ruined.
Yeah. And maybe that happens, you know, I mean, who knows, right? So maybe he thinks he's achieved it. And then he steps out of that moment, and he hasn't gotten there yet, but he felt like, I've reached a new level. This is the level, you know, but no, it's probably like step five of 150 million steps or something, you know, who knows?
Oh, that's a lot of steps.
That is a lot of steps, but you're talking about 2,300 years before we can get there. So it isn't going to be like two big steps in 2,300 years. It's going to be multiple steps.
So she also predicted, she had a couple more predictions that are right here. I mean, she had lots. She had hundreds when she died of things that were still to come. But 2221, the search for extraterrestrial life, man will come into contact with something truly terrible, though she didn't state what. Isn't that convenient?
Well, that's kind of ambiguous, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Of course we're going to, we always, I mean, every episode of Star Trek tells me that we're going to always come into contact with something truly terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a known fact. I don't think that's a prophecy.
close to our time, 2023, Earth's orbit is going to change.
That's not good.
It depends on what it changes to. I don't know. But to be fair to the other side of things, she did predict World War III was going to happen. Of course, she predicted World War III.
Everybody does, yeah.
Yes, World War III in 2010, which obviously did not happen.
Yeah, well, that's just like all the prophecies that said in the year 2000, everything was going to reset and take us back to the Dark Age. Well, because computers couldn't recognize the turn of the 2000.
Well, I mean, but what was that so much like the end of the universe type doomsday thing, or was that like, yeah, we really didn't think about this when we made technology, so it's all going to crash?
That's more like what it was. Yeah, I think that everybody was like, holy crap, we didn't account for that, and now computers are running, you know, 80% or better of the world and everything that we do, and so yeah, look out for Skynet, right?
Pretty much. Well, we don't have to worry about that. So any scientist or engineer or any technology type person, Elon Musk, who is trying to come up with a Skynet type system, make sure you don't put in that double digit so we have a backdoor in to destroy it.
That's right. Yeah.
Just in case it decides that we're irrelevant and we need to die.
Right, because that would suck majorly.
Yes, it would.
Yeah.
But here's my question to you dealing with this before we move on off of Miss Baba.
Baba.
Miss Baba. What a great name. Do you think, and maybe I could even have saved this for the end of the show, but do you think with pretty much every single person who at all is trying to deal with prophecies predicts a World War III, just not on the date, that it is almost a foreseeable somewhere in the future we are going to hit that time?
No.
You think it can be averted?
Yes. And I want to. Yep. And I want to know. Okay. So I'm going to elaborate. I just answered what you asked me. So what I want to know is, why in the hell is everybody predicting World War III? What happened to predictions of World War I and World War II? Or World War IV? Or World War VI? Right? I mean, why does it end at 3? Why doesn't anybody go beyond 3? And why wasn't anybody predicting the Civil War?
Maybe they weren't. Nobody bothered to listen. You know.
Well, don't you think that with all the historians out there that somebody would have found some little scrap that could have they would have like dug onto and went, oh my God, look it. It says there's gonna be a war between two people from the same country. Well, that's totally. That was totally predicting the Civil War. No. Yeah.
I don't know. I can't answer that question. But even Star Trek talked about it in First Contact. Two Star Trek references in one show. Go me.
Yeah.
They even talked about how the Borg came back right after World War III, you know, what do you say, like 150 million people dead or something like that. And then we reached that's like when we found peace with everything and became evolved and started going together instead of against each other. So maybe all we need is like this one last world war before we finally realize that we really have no idea what we're doing.
And that's and we're not going there yet, but that would have been a heck of a lead in for our main topic tonight that we're going to talk about the Borg and, you know, because maybe they were the ones who placed them because nobody knows who placed them. So.
Wait, what? Okay, yep. We're going to get into that.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to get into that later. So, okay.
Dave has one more prophecyist. I don't know what they're called. I don't know what they're called.
I would like to see you spell that because I don't even know how that came out of. I mean, that's like 28 letters long, man.
Prophecyist?
You go, buddy. All right, so I'm going to throw something in. I'm going to throw something in before I get to my prophecy guy, which I'm sure everybody knows who he is. So you made a mention that in 2018 that China's going to take over and kind of be the lead of world power. So I'm going to say right now that we're the ones who hold the spear of destiny and China does not. And so they're never going to be able to achieve world domination because they don't have the spear of destiny. So moving on.
Okay.
I'm throwing that in there for another show. All right. So my guy is Nostradamus, which I'm sure, like we were talking about earlier, Mike said he heard his name once or twice, but didn't know who he was. So, you know, in my age group and probably a little bit older than me, I mean, we learned about Nostradamus in school. So did you learn about him in school? I mean, like in any of your history classes, did they ever talk about him?
Well, so that's just it. I've heard the name and that's
about
it.
Yeah, but like after school type of heard it or like while you were in like grade school or middle school or high school and then like talked about it at length or...
I can't even remember where I heard it. It's just one of those names where it's rare enough where it's not going to come up in normal conversation, but it's also like, oh, I've heard that name before and that's it.
Okay. So Nostradamus, and I'm going to say this, and this is not a dig. So if there's any like, you know, hardcore Nostradamus people out there, don't be a hater. I'm going to throw this. I'm going to talk about him a little bit first before I say what I want to say. So he published a book in 1555 that contained 942 quatrains that allegedly predicted famous future events. Observers have come across a handful of predictions that do seem to reflect real world events. Now, this is kind of where... And this is not a shot at Nostradamus, but I'm going to say what I personally think after I read this next line. So in reality, most of Nostradamus's prophecies were poorly translated and vaguely worded enough to encourage tons of speculation. And that's where I'm going to kind of put in my two cents of my personal thoughts. So I've read a lot of his stuff. I think that I'm not saying that he couldn't foresee the future. And I'm totally not saying that. I think that maybe he could, only because he had so many things that were really, really close to what happened. I don't know that he ever hit like a grand slam, but he's like, he's got a whole lot of like stand up triples. Let's put it that way. All right. So I'm just saying, I'm trying to put it in perspective. So I think that what he was I think that he was a master at not using specific verbiage to like pinpoint an exact moment. That's what I think, you know? So he would like elaborate and just continue to speak and never quite pin down exactly what he was saying, which leaves stuff, which would leave that obviously open to since 1555. The human mind has evolved since then. So I would say that over that course of time, that his writings and stuff have been interpreted hundreds of thousands, millions, who knows, different ways. So that said, I'm going to touch on a couple of the things that he talked about, and we'll see how close he is. So the death of Henry II. The prediction read, the young lion will overcome the older one on the field of combat in a single battle. He will pierce his eyes through a golden cage, two wounds made one, then he dies a cruel death. That's what Nostradamus wrote. In the summer of 1559, King Henry II of France lined up to joust Gabriel, who was called the young lion, who was 6 years his junior. The tournament was held to celebrate the upcoming wedding of the king's daughter. In their final pass, Montgomery's lance tilted up, burst through the king's poorly secured visor, pierced his eyes through a golden cage, is the reference there, and splintered, according to On the Death of Henry II. In the writes in the Journal of Neurosurgery, Kamal Dowling and James Goodrich write that the profusely bleeding king remained conscious and was able to walk some steps with an unsteady gait. But splinters from the lance had entered the king's eye, throat, and temple, two wounds made one. Despite the best efforts of royal surgeons, Henry II experienced agonizing pains, seizures, and partial paralysis. And then in quotes again, then he dies a cruel death. That sounds like a cruel death to me. Before dying in his bed 11 days later.
That's pretty awful.
That is pretty awful. But if you look at what Nostradamus said, that's pretty spot on. And he wrote that in 1555, and 4 years later, it kind of, like I said, stand-up triple came true. He predicted the rising of Hitler. He predicted the Great Fire of London. His prediction was, the blood of the just will commit a fault at London, burnt through lightning at 23's the six, the ancient lady will fall from her high place. Several of the same sect will be killed. In regards to the date, 20 times 3 is 60. Add 6 to that, and you've got 66, or the year 66, London's infamous three-day blaze that began on September 2nd, 1666. The fire wasn't set off by lightning, however. A hot, arid summer and a spark in the bakery of Thomas Farner on Pudding Lane set the stage for the inferno. Peasant and middle-class deaths were not recorded at the time, according to the Smithsonian Magazine, but it's likely that hundreds or even thousands of people perished in the flames. In regard to the same sect portion of the quatrain, Londoners blamed the Catholics and the Dutch, and a number of lynchings and attacks ensued as the city smoldered, but the members of the same sect are also mentioned in conjunction with the ancient lady, which could be interpreted to refer to London herself. Again, maybe that's a double, or like a strong single. the French Revolution, I won't read them all. I just go over some of his major ones. Louis Pasteur, this one's interesting. The lost thing is discovered, hidden for many centuries. Pasteur will be celebrated almost as a godlike figure. This is when the moon completes her great cycle, but by other rumors, he shall be dishonored. So much to the excitement surrounding this prediction is based on the fact that Pasteur is the French word for pastor, or Shepard. And that Louis Pasteur, obviously, discovered penicillin, which would fill in a lot of the blanks and give him the fact that he was celebrated as a godlike figure because he saved tens, hundreds, millions of lives. I mentioned Adolf Hitler. We won't go to that. Charles de Gaulle, the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the death of JFK, of both, actually, sorry, the assassinations of JFK and Bobby Kennedy, and the September 11th attacks. So some of those are some of the highlights, and everybody can go look them up.
So in 1555.
Yes, 1555, he made all of these predictions. Yeah, and that's like the top 10. He's got however many I said, I forgot, like 900 and some, 964 or whatever it was. But yeah, I mean, so like I said, he's got a lot of stand-up triples, you know. I don't know that he's got a grand slam. I don't know that it is like actually come together like that, but he's close. He's really close. He's close enough to make you look at it and go, huh, you know, maybe he was onto something. Maybe he was having visions. I mean, something was a common guy. I would think like if you and I were to sit down and try to write down predictions, I think that even today in modern times, I think we would have a hard time, honestly, coming up with the number that he came up with. So I'm going to go back just to make sure that I have it right.
I don't think that
942. 942 future event predictions. I, honest to God, I don't think that between the two of us we could write. I don't even think we'd, even if we were just being silly and just writing stuff, I don't think we could write 942.
I think that you're wrong, CC. You're wrong. It's
no talking to the chat room unless you share. Remember, because they can't see us.
No, I understand. I'm just letting her know. Oh. She was. Well, I guess I really can't say that she was. But all right, no, okay. She's good.
Okay,
sorry. But I think I could, but like half of them would be, well, not half of them, probably 95% of them would be complete crap.
Yeah, I mean, crap.
You know, it would be in the year, you know, 3027,
right.
You know, ham, we're going to run out of ham, you know, that kind
right.
of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Spam is going to become the world meat. Yeah. That is the only meat of mankind. Spam and soybeans. That's the only two things that you can eat forever.
Yeah. So, I mean, it would be...
And Jack Daniels. That's all that's going to exist. The Jack Daniels is still...
We so, throw that in there.
Well, I'm just saying, that's how silly it would be, right? So you get spam, soybeans, and whiskey. And that's all you. That's what everybody's going to survive on in the whole entire world. But come on.
I could do that.
Let's get in. No, you can't because you don't like whiskey. Let's get into our main topic because we got a lot to talk about.
And we have commercials.
Okay, well, let's do commercials and then get to our main topic. I'm excited to get to our main topic.
Okay, well, we're going to get to our main topic like in two and two.
All right.
So,
beautiful.
All right. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Odyssey Files on Pair X.
Rhett, where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kind of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear... Line?
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
That's The Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan.
every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
UFOs,
people, cryptids.
A lot of shit on the calling. Just think if you listen to the words of Para-X.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hey, this is Dustin Perry from Ghost Hunters, and you're listening to Dave and Mike on the Odyssey Files. It's not the best show you're ever going to listen to, but it's also probably not the worst.
And we're back. So, welcome. So, anyway, we are talking about prophecies and the prophetic topic in general.
So, way to throw that in there, man. Just a smooth segue.
Nailed it.
Nice.
So, this came about pretty much, you know, just the other day when Dave asked me if I wanted to do this topic, and I had never, even though it's here in the United States, never heard of it before, ever. But I have looked at it now since, and it's definitely interesting, and he's going to tell you all about it.
Yeah. So somehow we took, I was thinking that our topic, what we're going to talk about here in a second was something that potentially could be seen as like prophetic. And so somehow between Mike and I texting back and forth together, trying to figure out an idea for a show, we ended up with prophecies. So we started the first half show with the prophecies. And two of the biggest names as far as people who have thrown out thousands of prophecies. Now, this might not be per se a prophecy, although I would argue that some people would say that it is, and they're going to reference the Illuminati or also what's called the New World Order, and that is their prophecy of what is going to happen in our future. So moving into the second half of the show, we're going to talk about the Georgia Guidestones. If you have not heard of them, don't be embarrassed. I've known about them for a while. It just was one of those kind of things that was like off my radar because we had so many other interesting topics. And then we were kind of looking for an idea for a show. And I'm like, you know what? I would love to talk about the Georgia Guidestones for multiple reasons, and we're going to discuss that now. So a little bit of background. They were put up in 1980, so relatively recent, right? By like history standards, 1980 is extremely recent. I can't think of anything. But off the top of my head,
birth? My birth was in 1980.
I said post 1980. Oh. I said post 1980. All right. So we're going to backtrack. So the two greatest things that happened in 1980, right? I started high school. Three things. I started high school. Mike was born. Let's put that here. Okay. Let's backtrack. So the best thing that happened in 1980, Michael O'Neill was born.
Thank you.
I started high school. And the Georgia Guidestones were put in place. And we're going to leave it at that because we don't have any – we're not going to go dig into 1980 to see what else happened.
What a boring year.
Well, that's all right. It's three amazing things, man. You can't just load your life full of amazing things. So, sure. So the Guidestones, or as they're commonly referred to, America's Stonehenge. So I'm going to do a little bit of background. On one of the highest hilltops in Elbert County, Georgia, sits the Guidestones. They're engraved in eight different languages, which are English, Spanish, Swahili, Hindu, Hebrew, Arabic, Chinese, and Russian. Which,
what about Sanskrit?
No. I know. I'm going to get to that. But oh, that's not right. So that's the eight languages that I found on multiple websites. That's what they said, that the eight languages were, that's what they're done in. Okay. Now, whether that's true or not, I haven't been there. I don't know. But I saw that on multiple sites. So we're going to go with that for right now, but we're going to talk on Sanskrit in a minute. So June 1979, a well-dressed and articulate man visited Albertson Granite Finishing Company, saying that he wanted, in quotes, to build an edifice to transmit a message to mankind. He identified himself as R.C. Christian, and said that he represented a group of men who wanted to offer direction to humanity. Now, I didn't find anything on how much the stones cost, but if you saw the size of these things, and I didn't even see, honestly, tons of pictures, but I didn't see any actual measurement shots, and maybe I could find it quick. You got it? Okay.
I do. Yep. It's actually, there's actually a stone off to the side that has all of this information. But it's actually 19 feet, 3 inches. And the total weight is 237,746 pounds.
Per piece, right?
It said total weight.
But I'm going to guess that's total weight per piece because it's 19 feet tall per piece.
So that's what I thought, because it had two different...
Yeah, if you saw... These are solid granite slabs. You know what I mean? This, like, where do you even get, like, solid granite? Like, who goes and cuts a 20-foot tall section of solid granite and then makes like a little oops, we got to take 9 inches off the top because we accidentally chipped it, so let's just make them all at 19.3, you know, instead of 20 feet, right? But if you take a look it up online, take a look at the size of these things, and it's just like, holy crap, like, who just commissions this? And then how much did it cost? Did you happen to see a cost involved? Because I did not see anything about a cost involved.
No, there was no cost given. However, the funny thing is the person who was trying to sell the slabs, or, you know, was supposed to come up with a quote, wanted to talk him out of doing this. And so they gave him a quote way higher than anything this company had ever even done before.
Yep.
And the guy was like, sure, sounds good.
Wow. Yeah, so basically they didn't want to be involved, is what you're saying. They heard the idea, and they were like, no, we don't want to really do this. So we're going to just put something like way up in no man's land.
Because of what they were trying to do, this R.C. Christian guy, was trying to do, the guy from the Albertson Granite Finishing Company considered him, thought that he was a nut, and tried to dissuade him from doing this by giving him a quote several times higher. So, I mean, whereas this thing normally would have been, judging by how much granite costs now, and a 20-foot slab, and there's like six of them. Well, four really, really big ones.
Yeah, there's four. There's four that are double-sided, which gives you your eight languages.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at least $250,000, that's in today's money. That's in today's money.
I would think so, because I mean, by the photo I'm looking at, so they're 20 feet tall, but they've got to be at least a foot thick. Oh God, they're more than that.
Maybe my pictures are just small.
I would say that they're like 3-4 feet thick. But anyway, so let's not get distracted. So the engravings so all the languages. So that's the eight languages that are on the outer stones. Okay, so the engravings deal with four major fields, which is A, governance and the establishment of a world government. So one true government to rule everybody. Nobody gets to have their own government anymore. There's one entity, everybody just falls into place. B, population and reproduction control. C, the environment and man's relationship to nature. And D, spiritualism. And we're going to elaborate more on that in a second. But I want to say this, and then I'm going to touch on the other languages that I know what you're referencing. That's on the inner solid block of granite, the four-sided solid block of granite. So the monument was erected in recognition, according to a book written by R.C. Christian, was written in recognition of Thomas Paine and the occult philosophy that he adopted and spirited. And part of the book that he wrote, and he wrote numerous books, but part of the book that he wrote was an idea of getting rid of Judeo-Christianity and creating more of a new spiritualism, if that makes sense. The interesting thing was Thomas Paine lived in 1776. That was published in 1776, sorry. He died, he was born in 1737, and he died, I got it exactly. He was born February 9th, 1737, and he died June 8th, 1809, at age 72, which in that time, in those years, in that time frame, 72 was pretty old. So the book he wrote, there's like 20 plus it says, but he wrote a pamphlet. His very first thing that he wrote was a pamphlet called Common Sense, then The Rights of Man, The Age of Reason, The American Crisis, and then blah, 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 blah. Keeps going on. So interesting that whoever created this monument created it as a recognition of Thomas Paine. Another interesting thing that I saw that kind of caught my eye was that the guidestones today are still used for occult ceremonies and mystical celebrations. Now, I don't know if they mean occult like black magic occult stuff or like some other kind of occult stuff. And mystical celebrations, that was very, very, very loosely translated too. Only one religious leader in the area had the courage to speak out against the stones, and he recently had to relocate his ministry. I thought that was very interesting. So obviously there's some power and some persuasion, a.k.a. The mob. That's the first thing that popped into my head, being from Chicago. That kind of told him, hey, we don't do that here. You know, you don't get to talk. The other thing that I want to say is that in the center stone, there's a hole drilled so that the North Star can be visualized through it at any moment of the day. Which I thought that was kind of extremely interesting too. Because I don't know, that kind of goes back to right off the top of my head when I read that and I saw the pictures of it, it kind of immediately kind of took me back to the pyramids and how, you know, they would set things a certain way so that when the sun rose or the sun set or the North Star was above, things, certain specific things would be illuminated within the Great Pyramids or within the lost cities and stuff like that. Okay, I gave you all the background. Mike.
Dave.
Yeah. Did you want to jump in? Or do you want me to throw this out there? Okay. So on the center stone, there's engraved, let these be guidestones to an age of reason. And on one side, the things that we talked about are engraved in Egyptian hieroglyphics. On another side is Babylonian cuneiform. Classical Greek is on another side, and Sanskrit is on another side. So not only are you touching on 8 modern languages, but you're touching on 4 classic, languages, hieroglyphics. Sanskrit, that's a whole other show. Sanskrit is a lost language. It's not even exists anymore. But supposedly Sanskrit was what was given to us by the aliens. So that language was actually brought down by the aliens for us. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
The one thing that I would like to point out, though, is that this R.C. Christian said that his group, however you want to call them, then they call themselves a small group of loyal Americans.
Yep.
No idea what that means.
Me either.
Let me rephrase. I know what that means. I don't know what it's supposed to mean to them.
Well, right.
But he said that they had been working on it and planning these guide stones for 20 years.
Okay, so since 1960.
Yeah. So, Do we want to say what the 10 guide stones are?
Sure. I've got them up right now, or if you want to read them, whatever, that's fine.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Okay.
So here are the 10 guides that they were talking about. We'll see if you believe that this is going to come down to that this would help an age of reason. Number 1, maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. Number 2, guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. Number 3, unite humanity with a living new language. Number 4, rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. Number 5, protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. Number 6, let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court. Number 7, avoid petty laws and useless officials. Number 8, balance personal rights with social duties. Number 9, prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite. And number 10, be not a cancer on the earth, leave room for nature. And then they even repeated, leave room for nature.
Exactly. And that's, you know, those are some strong ideas. You know, yeah, some of them are scary. I mean, some are scary. Some aren't. You know, I mean, avoid petty laws and useless officials is not a scary idea. You know, that doesn't scare me. Guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. First thing popped into my head was Nazi Germany. You know?
Yeah.
That's what they wanted to create. Hitler wanted to create the master race. Blonde-haired, blue-eyed, strong, physically fit human beings. That was his goal.
I don't know if that's what these are saying here, though, because this, especially since they add in diversity, I mean...
Right.
Hitler wanted to create one master race. This is like, let's all just have sex with each other.
No.
But do it wisely.
No, that is not what that means. No. It does not mean just casually go around having sex. Because guide reproduction means they're telling you when and where and how you can reproduce.
I don't know if that's the case. I think it's more under kind of what... China's doing, where like each family can only like have one child,
right?
You know,
that was lifted.
Right? But I'm just saying, I think that's right along the line of what they're talking. Not like you can only have sex with these people, but it's like, okay, let's not all go out and be complete sluts,
right? And fornicate just exponentially, right? I agree. Right. So, but let's take number one first, right? So limiting the population of the Earth to 500 million people will require the extermination of 9/10 of the world's people.
Yes. There was something we
skipped over that. You can't just skip over that one. You can't skip over that one. 9/10 of the world's people. So in their guide, in their prophetic reasoning, they're saying that in order for the world to exist in the idea of their perfect environment, whoever this group of people are, that you would have to kill 9 out of 10 people worldwide.
Boy, how does Thanos keep coming back into our show? Because that's exactly what Infinity Wars was that he wanted to eradicate half of the entire universe because the other half could then
survive, excel. Without suffering. Right. Well, and they'd have food, and they wouldn't be starving, and they wouldn't be dying of thirst. And right, exactly.
There was something that I read, and I'm trying to find it, and I can't.
But this is 90%, not 50%.
Well, right. But so these guys are worse. But they were thinking that the reason that they put 500 million in there was something was going on at that time. I think it again goes back. That's where it was, right at the very bottom. They thought that maybe they were talking about that as a basis to rebuild a devastated civilization. This was done at the height of the Cold War. And I think that I think some people believe that when they were writing this, they were going under the assumption that we were going to have a nuclear war.
Okay.
And so they figured that our population would drop below that number, and then we would just have to try to maintain it. You with me? No, he's not with me. Oh, Dave froze. okay, well, it's a good thing too because we're almost out of time. So I don't know where to go from this because I don't know anyone else to talk about. But I'm just going to say this. Hey, you're back.
Can you hear me?
I can't hear you. I was about to just close out the show.
No.
Oh, he froze again. I love it. Oh, and he's gone. So anyway, I think I'm just going to wrap up here. So this is definitely a it's interesting. We might bring it up again just because we didn't get a chance to talk about everything. But I highly suggest that you go and look at these things. I mean, they've been accused of being satanic, that this has more of a Luciferian secret society, the Age of Reason. They think that RC Christian is actually just a synonym, however you pronounce it, for the guy that founded the Rosicrucians. So it resembles Rose Cross Christian, or Christian Rosencruz. I really can't pronounce bad names. But, yeah, it's got a lot of stuff to it that I find very, very interesting. And like I said, I think that we'll probably hit upon this topic again at some point in time, more in probably in a generalized type discussion. So anyway, I'm going to end early tonight. Woo! Although it's still only going to be like 30 seconds. So The Shadows radio show is coming up next with Rebecca. Let's see if she makes fun of me today. So listen to that. So anyway, that's all for us tonight. If Dave were here, he would tell you to have a good week. And we'll see y'all next week. Everybody have a good one.
Hello, everyone. This is Ken Bogle. You know, you hear so many great moments during each and every episode of The Odyssey Files with Dave and Mike. But if I had to really choose my favorite moment, it would have to be when the show was over.